Since I only have a few Sundays left here with you, I wanted to kind of clear the air, and I wanted to have a confession so that we're all, you know, kind of in the right place. I didn't want to leave anything, you know, hidden. Somebody a while back left this pillow here at church, and it was here somewhere in the building. It moved around a little bit, and it was here for a long time. It was here for weeks, I think. And finally, it ended up on the pew outside by the west side doors. And I thought, well, I should just grab it and take it in since it's been here. I'm going to take it over to the house so that if anybody calls, they'll be able to claim their blue pillow. And I said, Pam, do you know anybody claim this blue pillow? No. Well, so I just kind of put it down in my office, in my line of sight. Big mistake. After one afternoon, after Pam left, I still had office hours. I was sitting in my chair and I was feeling a little tired, and I look over and there's this awesome looking blue pillow. And so my mind immediately drifted over to the long couch that is in the next room. And somehow this ended up on the side, one end of the couch, and stretched out on the couch, and I laid down my life. That was, I don't know, about a year ago. Somehow the pillow just happened to stay in my office. So if this is your pillow, I'm sorry. And thank you. I lay down a number of times in the afternoon, and it was very helpful, a very restful time on this awesome blue pillow. Now, you can't get mad at me, at least, for laying down, because I have a good role model. Our text this morning says Jesus lays down too, so I'm just following in Jesus' footsteps, laying down. I wonder if Jesus had a blue pillow like this one. Actually, I think there's a scripture that says he doesn't even have a pillow to rest his head, but Jesus gave me this pillow. But wait, am I misreading this text? Am I misinterpreting this text? Might I be cherry-picking a few words out of context and bending them to my well-rested agenda? No, that never happens. Okay, perhaps. But the text does say Jesus lays down. Clearly, this text, these words about the Good Shepherd, are verses about relationship, right? Faith is about relationship, about intimacy. It's about knowing and loving God and ourselves and neighbor. It's about knowing and loving each other in profound ways. That's the difference between the good shepherd and the hired hand, isn't it? The good shepherd cares for the sheep. He loves for the sheep. He's not just punching a time clock. The sheep belong to the good shepherd. So what does Jesus mean when he says the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep? Many interpreters will say that this text foreshadows the cross, that this text foreshadows Jesus' one-time big sacrifice on behalf of all humankind. It can be that, and it surely is that, but is there more? Because if you think about it more deeply, just spend a little time thinking about it, the cross doesn't quite fit with the metaphor of the shepherd. After all, once the shepherd is gone, after tangling with the wolf or the lion to the death to protect the sheep, the flock still needs someone to watch, protect, and lead them the next night, right? Is there something more at play here? You know, in the original language, when Jesus says he is the good shepherd, he doesn't say the good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. He says the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is present tense in the Greek text. the original, the language of that the New Testament was originally written in. And the present text in the Greek doesn't primarily indicate the present moment in time. It's not chronological necessary. But the main sense of the present tense in the Greek, should I test Molly? Should I put her on the spot? No, I won't do that. The main significance of the present tense when you see it is not the present moment in time chronologically, it's continuous action in time. It's continuous ongoing action in the present. If that's the case, what if the real miracle of this passage is not the wonder of a shepherd laying down his life in one grand gesture? What if the special love that Jesus is highlighting here is the shepherd who is there day after day, night after night, week after week? What if the good shepherd that Jesus is talking about is the shepherd who lays down her life not on one special day, but every ordinary challenging day? The shepherd who is there when the sun goes down at the end of the day. Gee, wouldn't it be nice to go and see a movie, have dinner, maybe go have a beer up on the roof of the Owl. But who's going to watch the sheep? Jesus is that kind of shepherd, the good shepherd who sticks around when he is needed. When the crowds are hungry, Jesus feeds. When they are hurting, he heals. When they are searching, he teaches. When they are alone, he embraces. When they are held down, he sets free. This is the miracle of good shepherd love. Not primarily in the one-time grand sacrifice, but in the everyday small sacrifices that relationships depend on when we love each other. This is the kind of love, after all, that Jesus wants his disciples to emulate when he takes off his robe and grabs his basin and pitcher of water at the Last Supper. When he washes the dirt from his disciples' feet and dries them with his own robe, taking care of that humble, ordinary, everyday need, that is where love is. This is where the miracle of laying down one's life for another is found. Love each other like I love you, he told them. You don't have to give everything up in one spectacular moment. How about a little bit in as many moments as you can muster? This is what binds people together over the long haul. This is what gives intimacy life. Now, truth be told, Jesus may want us to love like this. But it's hard for sheep by ourselves to keep this kind of love going on our own. This continued laying down of our lives for others can suck us dry and use us up if it's not perfectly balanced going in both ways, or if the weather turns bad for an extended period, or if there's not enough grace in our hearts, or if the communication is not healthy, or if wild animals are on the prowl. That's why we need the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd is there every day. The Good Shepherd is there when the sun is out and the hills are greening and the food is plentiful. And the Good Shepherd is also there in the darkness and when danger comes. Moreover, when the regular stream is dry and the pastures are picked clean, or when storms threaten, the Good Shepherd is there to lead us to green pastures, peaceful pastures, and still waters. This is what Jesus promises. There is a saying that you run into in many churches. Let me see if you've heard it. If I say God is good, you say?
God is good.
All the time. And if I then I respond all the time and you say? God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
You did better than the first service, by the way. You picked it up much more quickly. Now, this may sound a little sacrilegious and just a tiny bit heretical, but there is a big part of me that really doesn't like this saying. Every time I hear it, there is always something in me that is rubbed the wrong way. There's something that's just a bit too easy for me. All the time, really, God is good. Quite frankly, there's a lot of evidence to the contrary. Sometimes I just don't see it. God is good all the time. Waiting for lightning. Maybe this is just my problem. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a dumb sheep. Maybe that's why I need to come to church regularly, because I need to be reminded continuously. I need some of that continuous action kind of love. When I have had my face buried in the grass for too long, or when I lift my head and all I see in front of my face are the shoulders and butts of all the other sheep jostling about, or when I have wandered off and got lost and find myself alone, maybe this dumb sheep just needs the reminder that the Good Shepherd is there. Even when I can't see him, he's going to be there because he loves me. Are you one of his woolly ones too? For the past 8 years, you all have reminded this dumb sheep of many things. We have laid down our lives for God and each other, working side by side in ministry. We have done our best to follow the Good Shepherd together. I have made many, more than I can count, many dumb sheep mistakes, and you have shown me grace. Thank you. Let's get the story straight. Hey, y'all haven't been perfect either. Let's just get that out on the table. But let's face it. We're all just sheep with an awesome shepherd. This particular dumb sheep has an extraordinarily bad memory, but I will always remember you and your love. In preaching school, some would say that this is not proper to address in a sermon. But I disagree, because our relationships as brothers and sister sheep is the stuff of faith. So thank you, brother and sister sheep, for reminding me that God is good all the time. And for those times when I have not been able to believe it, thank you for helping me to pray it and reach out for it all the time. God is good. If you're a visitor this morning, I'm sorry for putting you through this. I'm about to leave. It's almost time for me to go. Some other sheep out there wearing a clergy collar will be mightily blessed to be called to serve here in this place. And she will bless you too, or he. I, this particular dumb sheep, has other sheep that God is calling me to be with, a group of woolly shoulders and butts from another pen to get lost in. To be honest, I don't know if I will be able to get away with using the word butt, B-U-T-T, in a sermon in my new congregation yet. If you hear of another congregational meeting like the one we just had in the church up there in Port Townsend, you know I pushed the envelope too soon or too much. For that matter, I don't even know if I will get away with using the word butt this morning among all of you. But at this point, what are you going to do? At this point, what really matters is that wherever we are, whether you like it or not, we are ever forever bound together by the same good shepherd, empowered by his love, called by his voice, and made one by his spirit. With a shepherd like ours, even dumb sheep can't mess it up. So let us give thanks. Amen.